Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
What's up, everybody? Before we get into today's episode, I do just want to let you all know that new merch is now available on coffeeclubpod.com. Go there, check it out, get it as a Christmas present for your loved ones. If you want it by Christmas, you do need to put an order in by December 10th for the US. Not sure about anywhere else. Apologies. And this time we've moved on from the kitchen and now we're in the bedroom. So I guess you can only see this on the video version. But really excited about this new shirt. It's going to be sweet. And as well as the shirt, we're selling a bunch of other cool like little items that will make good gifts as well. So that's it. Go check it out. CoffeeClubPod.com. Get your new merch and enjoy the episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club Podcast for episode 163. Today, we are joined by the one and only Robert Farkin. Wait, someone put Tom, put your nickname in these notes. Farkin Fast. Is that a real thing?
No, it's not. It's not. It's
Has that been said
Please
before?
Please don't use this nickname.
He seems to like the nickname.
No. All right. I really don't like it. Farkin Fast. No. Welcome to the podcast. We've sat in a such a way that people would know me and Robert's reference, Farkin Whore, which is our duo pop singer group band that we have going on. Johnny Knoxville is a huge fan of us. If you check his Instagram, we've been posted multiple times, I think, on Johnny Knoxville's Instagram. I wish he tagged us in it, but
yeah, you should sue him for not tagging. That was
that would have really helped our profile. Yeah,
but we're gonna open a bar.
Yeah, Farkin Whore. Farkin Whore is gonna be our bar in Boulder. It's only gonna serve real nice German beer in the big mugs. A lot of singing. A lot of jumping on tables. But yes, Robert, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
There's just too many opportunities for nicknames with a name like that. I mean, same with Ollie.
Is it the same in Germany? Like, can people use...
No.
No, it's just in English.
Like, in the beginning, when it was first big, like in Tokyo, I was like, what's wrong?
What's wrong with my name?
I barely spoke any English back then, so I didn't really get it. And I was just like, I think it was Remsen that... Matthew Remsen sent me the meme page and was like, this is a quite big page and you're all over the place.
You made it.
And I didn't get it. Mm.
I don't know what the chances of that happening again in Paris were, but they must have been unbelievably small. And for that to happen again 3 years later at the Olympics, that's maybe the best story at the Olympics.
We should have paid rise for that, to be honest. The IOC should have paid us some money for that.
Did you guys plan it on the start line? Like, all right, let's recreate this.
Yeah, but we made it the on the most pictures, it's the wrong way around.
Mm. Yeah, where the Farkin.
That kind of works as well, though.
It kind of adds on to it, but I'm pretty sure Nick Bedeau took the photo and he showed me after the race. They had the photo, and I was like, damn, we cannot avoid that.
Yeah, that's exactly his humor.
Yeah, he loves that shit.
He would have absolutely loved that.
Yeah. LA 2028.
Yeah, we'll be back there.
Third time's a charm.
Maybe it would be cool if we were on the podium. If we get on the podium.
that's the logic next.
That is the logical next step.
Yeah, if we're on the podium together and it just has Farkin Whore, that'd be unreal.
Be amazing. I'm trying to think of what other third name would complete that. And I'm just
on the podium?
Yeah. Farkin Whore, Ingebrigtsen, Farkin Whore, Neguse. No, nothing really. Just maybe you two can.
Farkin Whore Hawker would be like kind of funny with the alliteration, but
I like it. Yeah. Well, today we're going to. I mean, I think most people listening to the podcast already know who Robert Farkin is, but he is kind of unique on our team, so we will get into his story. He is the only one on our team apart from Helen who didn't go to college. If I'm correct.
Yeah. Not in the US. I tried in Germany.
So everyone else has kind of been through the system. So I'm pretty interested to ask like kind of how that different perspective is later on. But before we get into that, also this is our first Coffee Club's first race week of the year of the
race
season.
Race week, baby.
So
we haven't even mentioned it yet.
Surprise
like,
race.
Not even
coming
a
up.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. But before it, just a little shout out to Artican because we did come together with them in New York and do a cool collab. And now they're working with the team with OAC, which I don't know if they've ever sold them before, but in the past they've made them or have handed them out. But now you can go on Artican.com and buy an OAC bracelet. And what's really cool about it is that 100% of the profits do go to building a water well in Helen Obiri's hometown back in Kenya. So cool little project that they cooked up. And yeah, go check it out. But yeah, let's just get straight into it. Race week. So we do have Sintavisa going over to Turkey to race in Eurocross. She's on the Italy's relay, which will be really cool to watch. From what I'm hearing, it seems like the countries are really switching on to that. Like, it'll be very competitive based on, well, Mario said that the women for Spain's relay team is, what are their names? Marta Perez and Guerrero. Is that her name?
Esther Guerrero.
Yeah, which are two.
They're pretty legit.
So it should be a really good race. And then
is this the first time Eurocross has taken it from World Cross? Like the mixed relay?
No, they had it last year. Yeah, they had it at least Italy last win? Year. Yeah, they've had last 2 years because they had, I think, the UK won last year and Italy won the year before.
Yeah, I remember watching videos of the UK one.
I thought it was only at World Cross for some reason.
When I think the first year was when it was in Slovakia. Submarine, I think. That was the first year when they had the relay.
So who's on the team with Sinter?
So,
Do you know?
I know
Tamberi?
Pietro Reise. Tamberi tried to qualify. Didn't quite make it on. Instead, he got replaced by, I'm blanking on the name of the sprinter.
Marcel Jacobs
is on the team. Now, but Pietro Reise is on there, who's the other. It's cool. Both 1500 meter record holders are on their team. And I can't tell you who else on the team. But I know they're taking it very seriously. And even in the open races, like for Italy, I know Yemen and Nadia are both racing. We obviously know Jakub is going back to Eurocross once again. I don't know how many times he's raced at that race, but I respect that he loves his shot.
He loves that race.
Every year.
Yeah,
so
I respect that too.
It'll be some sweet racing. So I'm very excited to see it on Sunday. I think all the races are on Sunday, I reckon.
In Istanbul? Or in
Turkey? So it's in Turkey, but it's in a town whose name I don't know. Do you know the name of the town? It's like Antalya. Antalya. Yeah. And so, yeah, Istanbul, north of Turkey, Mediterranean. This is on the southern coast, and I have no idea.
Sounds pretty sad. I think it's actually the capital.
Really?
Capital of Turkey.
Istanbul is not the capital.
Istanbul is not the capital. I thought, isn't Ankara?
Ankara it is.
That's the capital.
It wasn't an A.
Antalya. Similar.
Yeah. But it's not Istanbul, yeah.
No, it's not. Yeah, okay.
But
it's
Ankara is the capital, that's true.
Oh, shit, yeah. That's going to be a long flight.
And the travel
that's
is
so far.
Load up some movies.
It's brutal to get there, but it'll be all right. It's sick. Like, I looked at the town on the map, and it's the coast. It's, like, literally on the sea, but then there's a mountain there, which is, I think, above, like, 7,000 feet. Like, right next to the ocean.
We should just live there for training camp.
Yeah, you got best of both worlds. Mm. So, that'll be sweet, but as well as the Eurocross, our very own Oliver Hoare is heading to...
Where are you going?
A little island.
Where are you racing?
A little collection of islands.
I'm actually racing on the Norway relay team. he gave me the call up. He's like, he called me up and he said, I need you. And I said, I'm there.
Jingy
called me up. Yeah, yeah. He late night dialed me.
Surely he's doubling back in the relay.
Yeah, he'll do both, surely. But
are they sending a relay, actually?
I don't know if Norway has a team.
Yeah, we're not sending one. Germany.
Germany?
How's that possible? I feel like there's a lot of good German runners now.
But nobody wants to.
Sam Parsons, Alicia Schmidt, and I don't know, some other
German. Yeah, but Alicia Schmidt next year, sub 2 minutes. I told you earlier.
Yeah, he did tell me that. She's going to be a big star in 800.
He's caught it.
Is Navi still boycotting?
Why was he boycotting?
Well, you guys, there's been news out.
I missed something.
Has there been something more recent? Like 2 weeks ago, I saw Navi, who had been picked for the Norwegian team, pulled out because they picked Philip over his much fitter and better teammate, training partner. I always forget his name. It's like a Norwegian name.
Persvila.
Yeah.
Thank God we got a European here.
Thank God we got a European.
Perfect. He felt like they would, Jakob just made them pick Philip.
I can see that though. Like Philip, maybe he's in good form, but he's often not been in good form in the last few years.
Yeah. So he was boycotting, I think.
Did you see the other
just classic Norwegian drama?
What was it?
Ingebrigtsen's, that Gerd Stenning trial.
I saw that.
So that's also probably something that's going on right now with Navi and being coached by him. I imagine that's not ideal, but
well,
some drama.
We'll see who lines up.
We'll see what happens.
Alongside
me, yeah, I'm racing that. No, I'm fortunate enough and to race Hawaii, the Hawaii Mile, the Hawaii Merry Mile, which will be exciting. Sage was supposed to race, and then she said, "Nah, Ollie, I'm not going to come anymore. I don't want to be in the same race as you." So that was pretty sad. But, yeah, I'm excited for it. It'll be a nice, fun mile. I think Hobbs Tess was running it, and he's probably going to wax me.
We don't really know what the field is.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at the field, to be honest. I'm going in pretty cash. I mean, it's early days in training, and I just kind of want to go out there and have a fun race and compete, and it'll be a nice little trip to Hawaii.
Normally includes a lot of very nice track club and a lot of Haas's guys.
Beetlejuice.
And they're normally ready to go.
Yeah, they're all like
they're
ready
normally
to go.
Very fit.
I would like to do that race.
Yeah, I mean.
It sounds very cool.
Why don't you?
It's very fun.
Get down there.
I don't know.
Get your agent on it.
Nobody asked me if I wanted to.
Oh, no, I had to. I
didn't know that the race exists.
I put my name in. Like, when I was in Brussels, I asked Ray, said, oh, could you see if I could get into the Hawaii Mile? And then literally the day of Diamond League final, he texted me and said, yeah, you're in.
You think it's too late?
For you, probably not. For a regular person, yeah.
I mean, they want that fucking horn, Hawaii.
Yeah, actually. From the we same have to use team. Every opportunity.
For the same team. That'd be unreal.
Yeah.
That'd look great on the roads.
But only if we get the bibs with our names on.
Yeah, and we have to be next to each other the entire race.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome. You looking forward to the 180-degree turn at the halfway point?
So I've got a technique.
Have you been training it?
Yeah, I've been training it a lot, actually. I've been playing a lot of Black Ops 6, so my omni movement is very good. I've been, like, diving in the game.
Say that word again.
Omni movement? That's omni movement?
No, I mean, I'm sure you're saying it right. I've just never heard of it before.
I mean, there's this movement.
He sounds dialed.
I'm dialed in because I'm jumping around the game and I'm learning how to do quick turns and stuff.
Are you going to do a dolphin dive?
Yeah, I'm going to dolphin dive. I actually, what I've got is Meg's going to put down a mattress on the other side. I'm going to run into the mattress and then bounce off
back?
That. And bounce back.
She should place a trampoline there.
Yeah, she could put that on the side and I just jump and push off. But yeah, honestly, I might ask if Hobbs Tesla is there. I might ask him or Beetlejuice or I think Prakel's probably run it, Pringles. Just some advice on how to do that turn because I have pretty
narrow hips. You have someone right here to tell you.
Well, George, to be honest, I'd be wondering to see what you would think, but I also think you'd be like, it doesn't matter. That's what I think Geordie would say.
Does matter.
Do you reckon it matters?
It definitely matters.
You do have to take the turn.
Number one, stay on your feet 100%.
Did you fall over?
I did not, but I would imagine if it was raining, it would be terrifying. We had it dry, but I don't know how slick it would get in the rain. That would be terrifying. Just be pretty close to the front at the turn.
Is it just one turn?
Yeah.
It's not too bad.
But it's 180 degrees.
Last year, they just made a huge move literally right after the turn. So if you hadn't made a good turn and like you weren't in that move.
Have you ever seen one of the Spanish road miles that they are doing in autumn?
Never.
They have like one in Madrid, Barcelona, Sevilla, all the big cities. And they like just run up and down like four times.
That sounds terrible.
And they have so many turns. So
like a kind of a lap kind of situation.
Yeah, but just on a straight road.
Really? Oof. Well,
teardrop it though. So like it goes a little wide and then like
you come back around, but it's halfway. That's the halfway mark? Or is that?
Because
you go out and back, right? I imagine it's the halfway mark.
Yeah, but you start on a different road to the one you finish on. Because you kind of start off to the side. Go down and then come back up.
Who made the big move last year on the turn?
Probably Yared. I think Yared led the entire thing.
I heard Yared took the turn amazingly.
Yeah, he just sprinted around it. Yeah.
Now, Yared's deceptive. He looks like he's like going to fall over.
He looks like he's
going to
fall over.
He's got everything.
But he looks
control.
Like that when he runs regularly anyway. Yeah. He's running like 7 minute pace. I look at Yared's like, you're going to trip over. But no.
Do you think that it'd be crazy if you were just on the inside of the turn and you just kind of run into the people that are on the outside and you bounce off them?
Well, I was thinking that. Or I was thinking, you know how like the turn probably has some sort of pill in the middle? I just grab on the pill and swing.
You should approach the corner from the outside. Go to the inside. Across. Go back to the outside.
Cut everyone off. Oh, you're talking about an Apex. He's been watching Formula 1.
Yeah.
But if I do that, and if I'm ahead and I do that, it'd probably be a smart move. But also, don't know who's racing. Maybe Jakob's racing that as well.
It is also a handicapped race with the woman getting, I don't know, 30 seconds or something. They've never won before, so...
Oh, you have to catch them?
They might be getting an extra... It's gone up from like 28 to 29, 30, 31, because they haven't won yet. So maybe they'll give them an extra one or two this year. Try and get a...
Imagine you go out that hard that you are about to catch them before the corner, and then it's like a big chaos.
That'd be crazy. Yeah,
crazy.
But this is all great advice. I'm going to soak this all into my brain. And
world record eligible too. Want that world record bonus to end the year?
What was it, 51?
Yeah, no, it's really fast now.
I don't think
Oz record though.
What's the Oz record? 58?
I don't know, but I'm sure
48.
It's... What? I don't think it's faster than the world record. Like the road mile record.
Has an Australian run?
No, yeah. I think it's like pretty fast.
They didn't reset it?
I don't think they reset it. Let me check. Because I know Craig Mottram has it.
Well, but a time from, let's say, fifth hour wouldn't count.
Yeah. It goes downhill.
It wouldn't be a fifth hour one, which I'm sure he's run 48 or something.
I think
he's run
something like that.
At fifth hour, yeah, but I don't think it'll count. I feel like it's probably around 4 minutes. Probably at World Road Running, if they reset it, which actually they didn't reset it. I think he did.
Is he in there with Hobbs?
I think so.
I think he ran kind of good in there. I'm sure he seems like the kind of guy who'd be racing.
Yeah.
If I run quicker than Josh Kerr's mile time on the track, I get his Cybertruck though. So.
Really?
Yeah, we had that bet.
That actually, I think that adds up.
That adds up, right?
That's a quick time. What is that, 45? Yeah.
Mile road. No, Jack Anstey has it. They did reset it. 2023 at the World Road Running Championships in Latvia. 3:58:30.
What is it for Germany?
That's Germany, it's 3:42.
Ah, yeah.
What's that guy's name? I'm blanking on the guy's name that's got all the records.
Richard Ringer.
Not Dieter Baumann?
Yeah, Baumann, that's it.
Was he on drugs?
I don't know.
He was suspended for having nandrolone in his system. But the record, like, I think that was in 1992 or something.
I think he got proven not guilty. But I'm not 100% sure.
What are your post-race Hawaii plans?
My post-race Hawaii plans?
Have you rented a car?
So I was going to talk to you about that because I don't think I should rent a car till after because you have to pay $50 a day to store it at the hotel. Meg has a friend who lives there. She's a nurse. She's running the Honolulu Marathon afterwards, like because it's the day after the mile. So we've got some hikes planned. We've got some fine dining. I want to get the spam sushi. I want to get that.
Spam masubi?
That's it. Spam masubi. Mm-hmm. I'm going to surf a lot. I have a friend that lives in Kauai, but I think he's in Singapore, which is unfortunate, but I might try and borrow a board or something and go just surf myself stupid, get really red like a tomato, and just enjoy being in Hawaii. So I do like and enjoy Hawaii. I would want to go to Kauai or Maui, but you have to fly, and just with timing and with other stuff that I wanted to do, I felt like I didn't want to rush if I'm in Hawaii, and I'll hopefully get back there at some point and get to see and spend more time actually enjoying myself because I am still training.
It's easy to forget about that sometimes.
So I don't want to like do all the travel, plan all these things, but not be able to train properly. So I
spend a lot of time on the hotel treadmills.
Yeah, that's what you told me. But you said the treadmills
were very
nice.
They were like brand new Techno Gym, so that was nice.
Let me see here, Robert.
That's good, but
a mile.
That's tough.
It doesn't have a road one. It just has a 5K road one, 1330 by Nils Vigot.
It's got to be a decent German one.
Oh, that's so crazy.
So there's no road mile German record?
No.
So it has to be because all the fast races are in Germany.
Yeah.
Isn't that where the world record was?
Düsseldorf and then also Adidas had their meet.
It only has a 1500 of the mile. It doesn't have
Can you speak it aloud?
Say again?
Herzogenaurach.
Herzogenaurach.
Exactly.
Not bad. All right, well, Ollie, we're very excited.
Mile. Yeah, I'm excited to run in Hawaii. If any Coffee Club fans are in Hawaii, which would be funny if they were, but if they are, come say hello.
Oh, dude, good luck on the coffee front.
The coffee is not great in Hawaii.
It's tough. It's really tough.
I know that
Hawaii
for a fact.
Is such an interesting place. I would love to go there sometime. But taking a little trip across the world to Valencia, the marathon was on this past weekend, and it was very, very, very fast. I think we'll do like kind of a speed run recap because we don't have to go through all. There's just so many crazy performances, but we did preview the Australian and New Zealand's that ran fast.
Two Germans ran
German
very
record.
Well. German record from Samuel Fitwee.
Yes.
And Richard Ringo also pretty good.
What time?
2:05:46.
Mm-hmm.
I think
so. Oz record.
2:06.
Shout out to Andy Buchanan. Got it done. Good I was so see. Impressed.
Like, I'm very impressed too. I think, and it's also always great to see Aussies go crush it. And particularly because most Aussies that go out there crushing it are fucking unreal people. So
2:06:20.
That's what the notes say.
Yep.
Over a minute off Brett's record.
Brett ran that in Tokyo a couple years ago, right?
Yeah. When you see the results from Valencia, like, I have to run my marathon debut there. Like, how can you? I mean, obviously, you get paid all this money to go run in different places. But it's like, if you want a fast time, just go to Valencia.
What you should do
Dublin.
Is...
Dublin.
Dublin. Berlin's quick. Yeah, Berlin's hard. Isn't Berlin hard to get into? London's quick, but it's hard to get into.
I think
it's...
There's a lot of people. I think it's about 50,000.
Well, I think for professionals, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think it's... If you're good... If you've been good on a track, I don't think it's a big problem to get into it.
All right. We've got to get good on the track, and then you'll be good.
And... Yeah, Matt Baxter's time was top 10 New Zealand, I saw. I didn't see exactly what it was, but
number 8 or something. Yeah.
I was surprised. I was actually surprised it was that far back because he ran 2:10. Like, it's not like you see like people from Australia and New Zealand running 2:10 like that often. I was surprised it was number 8.
It's true. You don't see it that often.
He's got to have another kid in.
It was like a 3-minute PR though. So,
yeah.
He's got to have another kid in kilometers and then he'll run the marathon record guaranteed. Miles and kilometers, if he has them combined as his kids, he's going to run ridiculous records for New Zealand. I'm calling that now, Baxter. Also, he probably didn't listen to Eminem before the race because I know he's a big Eminem fan. No, I reckon that's what I reckon.
I think there's time left on the table.
That would have been 209.
I think that would have been 206.
Just by listening to Eminem.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have made that mistake.
Surely not.
We're going to have to ask. We're going to have to ask him next time. Next time he comes around.
Another cool result was seeing Ed Chez get it done. And when I say get it done, I mean run 2:05. Like, it's so tough if you're from Kenya because like, it's such
an
amazing time.
Is he trying to become an American citizen?
Bro, that's like a question you could ask 10 years ago.
Yeah, he's been trying since high school, right?
I think he's trying for a very long time.
Yeah, because I just saw something that would maybe because at some point he was trying to and he would have the marathon and half marathon American records.
Oh, really?
Like, or his PRs are both those.
Weird.
Which is crazy.
I feel like we would have heard more about it if that was true, but maybe he's just, because he publicly has tried, like, out of college, out of high school, maybe he's just trying to get done. But I think he actually has tried to represent Kenya as well, so.
I think he has a green card, correct?
Maybe he gave up.
He must.
He must have a green card.
But speaking of the Americans, Simbasa did run,
I think. Number 4 all time.
4, 206. So just crazy. Italian record was broken as well. Capanelli, another on athlete.
How fast?
I think he was just behind Chez.
Was also he? 05.
Yeah, I think 05 or 06, something like that. So, yeah, just... I mean, the guy who won from Kenya, I have his name here, Sebastian Sawe.
On debut,
202.05 on debut, which I think must have been the second or third fastest debut ever because Kiptum also debuted in Valencia in a crazy time. It's just like... mind-boggling to just run 202.05.
They're making unrealistic things for everybody else because everyone's going to think, oh, they're running 205, 206. I'm training super hard. I'm pretty good. I'm going to go do it. And then you just realize like that's extremely difficult to do.
Because you only see, well, you don't only see, but you kind of remember these results and then you don't really remember all the people that like blew up and just had like, you know, average slash bad days, which is very realistic to happen when if you try run so fast in the marathon. But Yeah.
You blow up in like a mid-D race, a couple of seconds. Yeah. Blow up in a marathon. It could be DNF or minutes.
Yeah. I got some thoughts in my head now because, so, also the Swiss record was broken by Tedesse. And he came fourth in the race, I think. Is that not his name?
Yeah. Tedesse Abraham.
Abraham. He ran 204.40.
In his retirement race.
And he's like 40.
He's 42.
42.
And that was like his like, see you later, I'm done running. Oh,
is it really?
Just like Swiss record. I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be like his last race.
I think so. It was his last race.
His own Swiss record again for like, I don't even know how many times. How do you retire on that?
But it's not the world record for his age, isn't it? That's, I think. Bekele has it.
I think probably. Him or, yeah.
Bekele was also in it. I don't know. Bekele DNF though.
He either runs.
He's like 45, isn't he?
DNFs. I think he's so old. But my question was, seeing the on athletes, so Tedesse was wearing the Strikes. So for those listening at home that don't know, On right now has two like really good super shoes. Well, three, I guess. I mean, it depends. There's the Light Sprays, which I have never worn. But then there's two that we actually have that we, you know, wear regularly, which is like one's called the Strikes. One's like the Echo Boom 4s, which is obviously just a continuation of our last ones. And the On athletes, I think like a lot of them were wearing Strikes, but some were also wearing the Echo Boom 4s.
It was
like
a little mix.
Capanelli was wearing those, and I don't know what I'm going to wear for this half marathon.
I don't know what I'm going to wear for the mile.
I was going to ask you what you were going to wear for the mile.
What are you going to wear? That's such a hard question.
The Cloud Surfer. No, I think I was going to wear the Echo 4, but I remember wearing the Strikes.
The 4, not the...
I would go for the 3.
I wore the Strikes.
Echo 3.
I don't have a pair.
I would too.
Yeah. What about the... I like the 3s as well for...
Just they are harder.
Because they're much harder. But and also, the turn.
But also then you could just say the 99s. Or what are they actually called now?
Zones.
The zones.
Zones. Because like, I don't know if in a mile race how much that plate... It definitely helps.
Yared said he would wear the Echo Force. But that's Yared. Because he hits the ground way harder than I do. But...
You definitely get something out of wearing those super shoes, but it's just you got to contend with like the amount of stack height on them and taking that
time. I wore the Echo 4 for the 5th Avenue mile, and I felt like when you get tired towards the end of the race, it's not so nice anymore. I would be more confident with an Echo 3.
An Echo 3? Do you reckon they'd have any spare Echo 3s in the gym?
I got some.
I was looking for some. There's you're like not your size. No, there's no 9.5.
Yeah, you're not the same size. Yeah.
But you haven't worn the Strike? You wouldn't consider the Strike?
I tried it.
Because some people love the Strike.
And it rubbed my heel. And since then, I was too scared to wear it again.
Yeah, it rubbed my heel as well. That was one of the issues I had. Would the Strike be good for that?
The girls said they wore it in Fifth Ave. But I think that's quite different. No turns.
Joe would wear the Strike, I think. He wears a Strike like every session. So that's his preferred one. I'm still like testing both out right now.
I haven't really worn the Strike since I had that issue with my heel as well.
It's so hard.
I think you should go for a light spray, just because it looks so cool.
Yeah, I mean,
just spike up.
You know, I just take the spikes out of your spikes.
Yeah,
just wear those.
Definitely, the turn would be interesting with a plastic base, George. But
yeah, I kind of imagine
just heel strike it. Just heel strike.
Just heel strike it. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I still need to. I got like 2 days.
Just ask Dathan.
We watch on Saturday. Oh, he's barefoot.
And couldn't make a decision.
He's barefoot. He runs 3:49. Dathan's like, God damn it.
Yeah, it'd be worth it. But it's going to be so hard as a consumer because I don't think we're the only brand now who has, you know, two different versions of their super shoe. I think most brands do.
Nike had that forever now.
Yeah. I think the Echo 4 is not going to be for sale.
Oh, really?
Is it not already for sale?
No.
Oh.
But I think the bottom of the light spray is the bottom of the Echo 4.
Yeah, so they're selling the light spray, but they're not selling the
Echo 4. I didn't realize that the Echo 4 is not even available. Sorry, people at home, if I got your hopes up.
It's a way nice shoe.
I mean, it's like, why would they not sell it? That's a question for the big wigs.
Because they sell the light spray.
Yeah, I mean, they're all like really good shoes. That's the thing. It's just... How do you know exactly which one is the best shoe for you? That's the hard part.
I know Helen definitely likes the Strike more. She's been like the OG Strike wear. The first time she won Boston like was
prototype,
in the Strike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way back. It's a hard... Yeah. We're fortunate that we have opportunities to just try out both and stuff. But I'm just imagining if you're at home and you're like on the website and you're like flipping a coin like, should I get the light spray or should I get the Strike? Who knows? Or just get both, I guess. And then you'll find out which one you like more. But yeah, that's how anything
decisions
else
to be made.
Yeah. Anything else from Valencia?
I'm questioning everything now. I think that was good. Shout out to everyone crushing it. It's exciting stuff.
Yeah.
The Coffee Club will debut our Valencia marathon there probably.
We did also have Isabel Doyle. She ran the third fastest Australian all time, which was pretty sick after she's been crushing it recently.
Mm.
Getting just under 2:23. And actually some more flag stuff. Love Sarah Hall. Female American, running her fastest time in 2.5 years, 2:23. So, because she's had a couple of rougher races, so it was actually good to see her getting back on it. Our next story, which we'll also go through pretty quickly, is the World Athletics Athletes of the Year. I have no idea how they do this. It's probably just SEBCO deciding. Do you think they vote on this?
I reckon what they do is they have like, you know, like the Legion of Doom, like the underground like thing, and then they have like this massive round table and they're all sitting there like talking about the next year. They probably do it then.
Yeah.
Vote.
Do you think it should be, is it as big a deal as it should be, or is it the right level of like importance?
Do the athletes get paid as well?
That too. Is there a prize? Like I didn't know it was happening and I can't decide if I...
I'd be much for it if the athletes are getting money. Honestly, because being that high level, you should get a little bonus for that.
A little bit of cash. I think it's almost the right level, though, because I think it's so hard to... Like, it's not meaningless. This list is not meaningless, but as I read out the names, for every, not all of them, but for most of them, you can almost be like, yeah, but it could have been this person. Mm. You know, it's so hard to decide because they're not competing against each other. So it's kind of hard to compare two athletes that never get to compete against each other.
It's like comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah. So I'll just read through the list quickly. The two big, big ones, Women's World Athlete of the Year was Sifan Hassan. The men's was Tobogo, which we'll get into. Interesting. Women's track, Sydney McLaughlin. Women's field, don't know how to say her name, Yaroslava. Women's out of stadium, Sifan Hassan. Men's track, obviously Tobogo as well. Men's field, Mondo. Men's out of stadium, Tola. And then they also have the Rising Star ones, which I didn't really know they have these, but the women's one was, I don't know how to say her name, Ethiopian woman, Almayu, Sembo Amalu. And then the men's one was Mattia Furlani. He's a triple jumper.
Did Laros not win?
No. Oh, man. But Furlani medaled at the Olympics, I think. He's under 20.
Okay.
So.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, what do we think? What jumps out?
Who was Tobogo going up against?
Everyone. No Lyles.
Mondo.
Jakob.
Mondo. I mean, Mondo, if you look at, okay, if you structure World Athletics in the whole idea of their whole ranking point system, which they're been obsessed with and they've been pushing for these multiple years, you would vote Mondo because Mondo's score is insane. He's also broken three world records.
That's not a good measure, though.
But that's how they measure it.
No, they don't.
No, but that's how they measure how good the athlete is, because if you look at overall rankings of all sports, all track and field sports, Mondo's number one by like 200 points because every time he jumps, he breaks a world record. So
they're not gonna base this off that, because Sifan Hassan probably wouldn't be close.
But there's nobody
that.
Else like Mondo on the
Sifan
women's
Hassan,
side.
She makes sense, right? I think everyone can agree that what she did at the Olympics this year was hard to comprehend. Winning, like, doing the three events, three medals, capping it off with a gold medal and the potential, like, maybe the most iconic event being the marathon. That's like once in a lifetime type stuff. Yeah. So her winning it makes sense. I find the Tobogo one funny because I feel like the best thing that he did was just like beat No Lyles. You know what I mean? that's why everyone loves it so much.
I think they maybe didn't pick Mondo because he made already enough bonuses. Yeah. And he didn't need the bonus for the World
Athletics. They got to share the money around, share the wealth.
Tobogo and Lyles won the one and the two, and then they both didn't medal in the other, right?
No, Tobogo, wait. No, he didn't medal.
They were both like just mid like
fourth, maybe. Did he compete in the 100?
No, but No Lyles came third. No Lyles did medal.
Because he had the COVID thing where he got
Kenny Bednarek came second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he did get two medals.
He got two medals. And they probably won I want to imagine they won an equal number of Diamond Leagues throughout the year. Tobogo actually was at like so many Diamond Leagues. So maybe he did kind of like win a lot more races.
Maybe also because of his performance in the relay. Like he was just on Ray Benjamin's back all the time for the whole race. And he's such a good 400-meter runner. He ran crazy good in the relay.
Did Noah end up racing the relays, or did he have to pull out? He must have pulled out of them.
I think he might have pulled out. Right? I'm not sure, actually. I had to double check.
I think World Athletics is really trying to hype up Tobogo right now, which I think is cool. I think they want more stars in Africa specifically. Like, I think they really want that. I'm not saying that's why he won. Like, obviously, he deserved to win, but I think, like, they do want that. I'm just surprised that, the thing is, you look at Mondo, it's like, what more could he have done in his event?
I think there's no one else, there's no one like Mondo on the women's side, so it's very hard to, like, Sifan Hassan, like, that's just an obvious
one. But there's no one like Yaroslava, Mondo. Also, I don't know if I said her name right again, she broke the world record as well.
Yeah, but, yeah. And that's amazing, and, like, she's incredible. What I'm saying is, every time Mondo jumps, he gets close to breaking the world record, every time.
Okay, but Tobogo and Hassan both do more than one damn event.
Yeah. So that
it's
does
athlete
make sense.
Of the year, not.
Did you not
pole
watch? Did you not watch the cast more home? Yeah.
I obviously did.
that counts, bro. That's like 400,000 athletic points.
He's not in the Olympic final in the 100.
No, but I agree with that. But I'm just saying, my point is, World Athletics ranks these points and the ranking as like a super big deal, and they have it all on the website. And if you go and look at it, you'll see they have an overall men's ranking.
No one gives a shit
about it. He is number one, and he's a number one by 300 points. And if you look at his record, even though it's one event, he has five competitions, and there's WR, 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 WR. Like, that's insane. Like, if you're putting an athlete of the year, that's an athlete of the year material.
He's pole vaulter of the year.
By far.
Not, I don't, but I see your point.
But he did.
But I'm just not agreeing.
I'm the devil's advocate arguing for the perception of what he needed to do, which was like, there's nothing else he could have done. Because a pole vaulter can't just go, all right, I'm going to go run the 100, because that's not.
Is that, yeah, doing. I guess the question then, is that a problem? Like, is it a problem that it's impossible for Mondo to win this?
What about, like,
has he ever won it?
I don't know.
But I wouldn't even be surprised if he's won it before.
If broke the world record and won the Olympics, he couldn't win.
Who?
Athlete of the year. Jakob.
Jakob could win.
What do you mean?
He's in the
competition. I'm sure he would have.
If he would have Tobago would have probably still won.
No. If Jakob had doubled.
If Jakob had broken the 1500 world record and won the Olympics.
Actually, no.
Athlete
sorry.
Of the year.
100%. If he won the 1500 and the 5K, I reckon he still wouldn't have won.
I think he would have. Yeah, with his 3K world record.
100% he would.
Oh, he had the 3K world record.
His 3K time.
Yeah.
I think he, without a
doubt. And he also won a good amount of other races.
I think he was in the conversation. Without doing that, I'm sure he
as
was
he
up.
He should
there.
Have been.
Yeah, he would have won. Has if he would have won double gold in Paris.
Has he ever won? No,
I don't think so. But maybe he could have won last year. I don't
know. Double gold would have taken the cake easy.
Yeah, I guess no one did double gold right on the track.
No, the biggest talk was Noah Lyles doing the one.
So
and two.
if anyone did double gold, not including relays, then they probably would have automatically won.
Yeah,
because that's the pinnacle.
Because that would have made sense.
And so. That's not on the World Athletics ranking website.
No, but I'm just saying this is World Athletics Athlete of the Year. This is not winning at the Olympic Games specifically. It's just ranking the athlete from World Athletics perspective. That's why I'm arguing that point.
I get what you're saying, but no one does really care about
No one gives a fuck about it. I'm just saying like they push that ranking and those points like that as a big deal. So
yeah. Well, yeah, it's an interesting list, and I bet they do get some money. They probably have to like go to Monaco
and get an apartment money. Or something in Monaco, maybe
something like that.
Next to Seb, so Seb can like have his little coffee and see all the athletes just sitting there.
It'd only be fair.
I feel like that'd only be fair.
Yeah. So moving on to Mr. Falcon Fast over here.
Please, no, don't do that.
Is that like where does that come from?
I don't know,
but it's a thing.
It isn't a thing. Like, it's not. Like, I've never heard someone using that term.
Oh, actually?
No. Like, I don't know why it's on there.
Is that a miss?
No, well, maybe Tom Wayne just made it up. And
Tom's probably just spitballing.
He wanted us to make that the nickname.
Oh, he wanted us
which,
to.
Which, Tom, you did a great job.
It was a suggestion. No,
and he loves it.
Tom, we're going to have a serious conversation after this.
He's fucking pissed now.
Yeah. New nickname. Upgrade. I think the most obvious place to start is so just how the transition has been, because you made the move for everyone that doesn't know, which I'm sure many do, but so you were with OAC Europe since its inception, and then recently a couple months ago you made the switch to OAC Global, which is what our name is. And
history was made in the track and field world. It was the first ever trade.
It was a trade. Yeah, we trade you for a Swiss guy.
Got together. Yeah.
Trade alert.
What was the Swiss guy's name again? Jonas.
Jonas,
who's been on the podcast multiple times. Good friend of the pod. He went to Europe, and then we got Robert.
And it's kind of funny that it did happen as a trade in the end. But how was the transit? I know that the training is very different, and I think Evan would love to hear about how the transition is going, both from a life standpoint and a training standpoint.
Yeah. So basically, after the first. I would say maybe 5 days here, like from the first impression and everything. Like, I loved it so much. Like, from coming from only being on training camps to, yeah, seeing this as a place where I can, yeah, where I will live in the next years. This was like very exciting to see this and to be like, okay, this is going to be like my home, far away from my actual home. But yeah, like, It's crazy. Like, since I'm here, I'm just enjoying every minute and very looking forward to the next months and years. And mm-hmm. yeah,
and the training. So we joke a lot about double threshold. Now we have someone who. How many years did you do the double threshold?
I don't know. I cannot remember. So a long many. Time.
All of them. All of the years. Yeah.
Since it exists.
You invented double threshold.
No, the thing is, with a double threshold, I think when you've never done it, you feel like you want to do it. And when you've done it for such a long time, you're happy to do something new, like how it always is. You always want to do, or want to have what you don't have, or to do what you're not doing. I think that's just so typical for us human beings. So I'm very happy to do to have a new approach for the training and maybe a new trigger to, yeah.
Well, it is keep very progressing. It is very logical as well. Even just like, yeah, the grass is greener is a definitely thing, but even more just for your specific situation, if you've done double threshold for, let's say, 10 years of your life and it's taking you from this level up to this level and now you're looking for a way to get up to this level, it does make sense to change it up and try something different. And I think all of us on the team, including you, are very excited to see like what that kind of combination does end up like resulting in, because just logically I think it makes sense. If you do like if you do this training where you have this crazy aerobic base and then you come to a system which is slightly more intensity focused or however you want to call it, you think that like that there's a good chance that's going to lead to some yeah. fireworks. No?
I think the main thing is going to be stay healthy.
Yeah.
Like how would you describe the change, like as opposed to just going from double threshold to not double threshold, but like if people are wondering like, all right, how's the training actually different, what's the simplest,
like where should I start?
I don't know.
Everything is so different, like
every day of the week.
Yeah,
let's compare a training yeah. week then. Maybe
like for example, we would usually like there are not many afternoons off with a double threshold system. Like we always had something in the afternoon, and here with the workout days, it's either just 4 or 5 miles or even like a free afternoon. And in Europe, it was just like usually just Wednesday and Sunday where we had day like the afternoon off. And I'm really enjoying to have this time to recover, even though the workouts or the runs in the morning are very big then. But I really like to get the chance to recover. And yeah, like now with the time change, or the time zone actually, where like my phone's just dead at 3 p.m. Like I'm so bored in the afternoon. I even go to the gym and stretch, foam roll, something that I would have never done before. But it actually helps. Like yeah. I feel better in training, to be completely honest.
So much bigger single sessions in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, that
yeah.
part's obvious.
Yeah, single sessions. Yeah, this is like
I guess
the biggest thing. Or like to mix up everything, like doing 3 miles on the road, threshold, then doing some mile reps, threshold, and then just rip it.
Yeah, we were talking. So we all got combined for the workout on, what was it, Sunday, yesterday, mm-hmm. literally. And it was a big workout. It was a lot of threshold work. About 8 to 10 miles of threshold work, but with a couple of the reps or one of the reps being like faster above threshold. And on the warm down, like Falcon was just said to me, like, yeah, in Europe, like you wouldn't even think of ever doing that. Like we ran threshold pace, and honestly, we probably ran quicker than threshold pace for a decent amount of the workout. But then we actually had to like run a fast mile, like we did a 4:25, and that just wouldn't make sense.
Some CV,
you have to do that.
You would say you destroyed the workout with like going yeah. so high in the end. This is what you.
I feel like in Europe, it's like if you're doing a threshold workout, you're doing a threshold
you
workout.
Can't mix.
Like,
you stay clean. You don't mix the things up.
Is there actually a negative to that?
Sorry?
Is there a negative to, does it actually destroy the workout, or is that just what they say?
Like, I'm not a scientist.
Some scientists might say that.
But this is what people say, yeah.
So
like, when you just always send the last rep, for example, like you're messing up the workout.
Mm. So your sessions, like 10K was like, that's just the standard, right? Yeah. 10K in the morning, would you have ever worked out over 10K?
Maybe, yeah, slightly, like maybe 11, something yeah. like this. But
so how have those, like, I know that I haven't been doing them, obviously, but I know we get to like 9-10 miles. How have you been feeling at like 8, 9, 9.5 miles? Is your body just like, what the fuck's going on?
It's not too bad, actually.
Yeah?
I'm a bit surprised that I'm still standing. But the worst thing, or like, yeah, the biggest change for me is the long warm-up and the long cooldown. Especially the long cooldown. So bad. 3 miles, 4.8 kilometers. I struggled with 2 kilometers in Europe, cooling down. But 4.8 kilometers is very, very tiring.
Even Joe doesn't do that.
Gotta get those miles in.
Joe goes off the actual mileage in the day. Like if he has 12 and a half, he's got like 15 in the day and he's only got 12 and a half done. He's like, I'm only running 2.5.
Yeah, he's not like that.
He's running 13. Like he's like, I'm limiting my mile. I do the opposite.
What does that mean?
I could be like 2 miles over. I'll still run.
Oh, I normally do that as well, and I'll take it off. Actually, I won't take it off.
I won't take it off. Over miles. Because then I look, and then I look through the weeks. I'm like, why did I do an extra 5-6 miles? And then I look and go, oh, wait, it's all the cool down and warm up.
Yeah.
It's
sessions.
Really nothing else.
You guys love the 3 mile cool downs.
Did you know who loves them? Yard.
Yard, do we have a, loves Yard also loves them.
Yard loves the cool down.
Do we he have a choice?
Depends who you are. I heard the girls did a clicker on Sunday.
Really?
A couple of days ago.
Santa doesn't do 3 mile cooldowns, rarely.
Maya and Olivia, they checked their final surgeon and said, oh, I only have 13 on the day. And they did 13.
So, I respect that. I think
so. There's some mixed opinions for sure.
Yeah.
Depends which camp you want to live in.
Mm-hmm. And one other probably significant difference is that you previously would have had three workout days plus a easier long run day, I would say. And then now you have two workout days plus a harder long run day.
Yeah, it kind of depends on what time you are in the year. So my best weeks were like, yeah, three workout days, two double days and one single day. But I think, for example, George, he did days where he doubled three times a week, which I could have never done because that would have just been, I could have not backed this training. But there are also some weeks where you're just doing two double days.
Okay.
So just four workouts, or maybe one double and two single days also. So yeah. It kind of depends on what time of the year you're at.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And so most of the time when we're joking about double threshold, we're talking about Jakob. So how similar is your guys' training to his training? Because from my outside perspective, it seems the exact same.
I also think it's all the same.
I don't know his training, but from what I heard, I also think it's pretty similar.
Okay.
Like, yeah. 400 meter reps, K reps, or like 6 to 8 minute reps.
Yeah. Fair enough.
How about clicker miles for long runs?
What? Like, you mean sending the long run?
Just running with Joe on a long run, yeah. How's that been feeling?
Yeah, like, I used to just completely jog my long runs. Like, 7:30 miles, 4:30 Ks, and now 3:40 Ks. Uphill, something different.
Well, you're dropping all of us as well.
Yeah,
we have a joke
once.
On the team that
once,
like, Joe's always going to go Joe's pace, which is normally somewhere around 6 minute pace, faster at the end, and then the rest of us are kind of like. To be fair, he was a lot fitter than us when we first came.
He's
back.
He's 4 months ahead,
but we like have kind of closed the gap to him a little bit, like week to week. But every week there'd be like one person from our group that would send him and try go with him. Mm. And it's fucking almost actually every week.
You and I did the opposite. Yeah. So what happened was when I sent it with Joe, you would chill. And then the next week you'd send it with Joe.
Yeah. And then were ahead of us. Like, we couldn't see you anymore that one week.
Oh, that was one of the hill climb weeks. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a one time thing.
That was when I measured you.
Yeah. I was still decently low though. For my lactate. I was still decently low.
What was it?
I think I was like
6 or something.
No, it was under 5.
It was 4 something. I know. 4.8 or something. I know exactly. It was 4.0.
4.0?
Yeah, but it was after...
3-4 minutes. So it probably went down.
Yeah. Falcon's like kind of like my data scientist. Every time I have a question about lactate, I
he's
straight
the expert.
To him. I say, what do you think about this? Does this sound right to you? And you say, I don't know. I don't know about that. So I've appreciated having you there for all those questions.
There's always someone that needs to keep Joe company.
Yeah.
Whoever's feeling it on the day.
Yeah. Sometimes Kai goes. Sometimes Kai goes with him.
Yeah.
But it's also nice for the mind to like not pay so much attention to the lactate anymore and to not make your feeling dependent on what your lactate is in the end. Like, because I found myself, just seeing the workout good or bad depending on my lactate and not how I felt. And now, like, whenever I'm like high but I felt good, I'm like,
it's good,
whatever.
Yeah. Mm.
And the same thing I do the other way around when I feel shit but my lactate was actually low, then I like it hypes me up a little bit because like gives me a little bit of positivity.
Yeah. Well, one I guess potential negative that you mentioned to me about the double threshold system is that you said that in your experience you found it really hard to hurt in races.
Yeah, in races or in like VO2 workouts where you're like, from the outside the people shouldn't see that you're hurting, but you are actually, it's not comfortable anymore. This is actually the zone where I'm like struggling a lot because you're like, you get used to staying always controlled and staying in your zone and you kind of forget how to hurt yourself. That's what happened to me a little bit.
Yeah, you'll notice that, like, in races, for example.
In races, like, I was just looking for my gears, but I didn't have any gears.
Yeah.
At some point. Especially last season, that was pretty obvious, yeah. I was always in a good position with, like, 200 or even 100 to go, and then just nothing happened.
Mm. Yeah. Makes sense, I guess. Like, we...
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
We will find out.
That's the thing. We can talk about everything, but then we're all going to be lining up on start lines, and then you get to really see...
See how it works out.
What kind of start lines are we going to see you on? 8s or 15s?
15s. Ooh. Yeah, but apparently even 3Ks, what I not really like, to be completely honest.
I know 3Ks are fun, though.
I'd be interested to see how you go.
15 laps.
15 laps is a lot.
But I don't think about it like that.
You don't look at the first 10.
What about 800? Have you run a lot of 800s?
I hope so. I hope
quite quick.
I hope so. I'm going to run 800s.
Yeah. You're definitely on the 800 side of the team.
That was like the first chat I had with Dathan. I asked him, like, what's your idea with me? Bring me up to like a 1500 5K guy or keep me an 800 meter, 1500 meter guy? He was like, oh, absolutely 800, 1500 meter. But after... 7 weeks here?
Yeah, he's seen how good your threshold is. He's like, why would I...
That's the natural.
Yeah, that's what he tells you that to lure you into
everything
the team.
Slides that way. Yeah. Well, I mean, even Sage, who is... Sage ends up being a pretty pure 800 runner by the track season. She still runs a 3K indoors.
Does she?
She does.
It's true.
So it's just, if you train with us the way that we train in the fall... It's like you're going to start thinking about 3Ks or 5Ks. It's and just then inevitable.
It's the natural marathons. Progression.
Yeah, half marathons. Like
I just stay with the 15 as a good compromise.
Yeah. That's what I did. Yeah, although I'm getting pushed. I'm getting pushed this year, Robert. Well, next coming year. I'm getting
to
pushed.
The 5?
Yeah. But I'm trying to stay as much. I probably have 2-3 more years where I can stay with the 15 and then I have to do more 5Ks.
You definitely would have run more 5s. If it weren't for your injury, I'm sure. Like, you would have run an indoor 5 with us, 100%.
Oh, yeah. He already had that plan.
So yeah, I think the whole team did.
I think outdoor, like, he would have kept me pure 15.
Yeah, you would have run a 5K with us last year if you were around.
No. I really don't think so. Hey, I would have been sick.
You didn't have a
hamstring or something.
Oh, my hamstring.
You're a smart man. You're a very smart man. I like that. Switching gears a tiny bit. How's it been more from, like, the kind of team aspect? Because I think... I imagine there is something to the fact that, like, everyone that you're around now, we've all been part of college teams, and a lot of our experiences in the sport have been kind of colored by our experiences on college teams, whereas previously you were part of, like, it's so different in Europe. I don't know, for people that are at home, like, most people that are really good in Europe, they have a coach that just, like, I don't mean this in a bad way, but, like, if you're good in Europe, you're probably your coach's best athlete, and you, by far, like, there's a good chance they're kind of like babysitting you and they've coached you for a long time like you had. And so it's a really different, it's much more individual, I would say, kind of from, like, if you're at the high level, it's not really the same teams. Have you noticed that difference, like, being here where everyone's used to that team compared to the OEC Europe?
I think the college system is definitely something that is so good for, like, just the opinions that I get from other Germans that have gone through that system, they are also always, like, saying only positive things about what the experience that you make and the lessons that you can that you learn from the time here. And yeah, I think it's kind of how you said it, that, like, most of the times in Europe, groups are, like, around a certain athlete or, like, a main athlete. But I think On tried really with the OEC Europe to create such a team that the American teams are, where you, like, have, where all athletes are, like, equal and work together and into the same direction, and where you really realize that you're sitting in the same boat, and then just on race day you're, like, yeah, on yourself.
That makes sense. I think that's,
and I think they're doing a great job with bringing this to Europe, and hopefully more brands are doing the same thing that On's doing with OEC. And I hope there are going to be teams from other brands as well, because I think this is what we need in Europe as well.
Yeah, it is kind of shocking that it doesn't exist, because, for example, especially when you probably need the help when you're a bit younger, like, what was it like for you as a good German athlete when you're, like, 20 years old? You were probably just, you had Thomas, your coach, but the support network, all those things, they're I imagine pretty challenging at certain times.
No, we have like in Germany, you have like more cities where you have like these facilities where you can get physio for free when you're in a certain funding level of the federation. Like we would call it like you're in the main squad or in the B squad, if that makes sense. And that like then you have the rule like, okay, if you're in the biggest funding, in the biggest squad or the best squad, you get like, for example, 3 times physio a week for free. If you're like one level underneath, you get 2 treatments a week for free. And yeah, but everyone can use those facilities for gym and stuff like this. But obviously you have to move to that city then to be able to, yeah, get use of those facilities. But actually I think if we would be more strict in Germany on those systems, it would be, yeah, much more promising than it is at the moment.
Yeah. Athletics or running is kind of a hard sport for that. Like we see it down under, like swimming, that's what they do, I think. They make you go to like the Institute of Sports is what we have. It makes sense more in swimming, but running is just so hard.
Yeah, running locations is difficult because you need multiple different resources that aren't just stuck in one.
Yeah, but
like section
runs
one
take
pool.
More time to develop.
The problem is that like, especially in running or from what I see in running, that many people always think they know it better. Like in their small bubble, like when they live in a village with their coach and they're like the main athlete of their coach, they would never think about trying a new approach and going to maybe a slightly bigger group to, keep progressing. Mm-hmm. So they just stay in their small circle and don't try to leave their comfort zone. I think this is something that we definitely have to embrace, or a lot of athletes in Germany have to embrace, to like leave their comfort zone and maybe leave their cute little hometown and make a move.
Would you say the number of Germans in the NCAA, like, is that increasing? Are more Germans coming to the US?
The thing is, it's like always the Germans that are nowhere near the funding that go to the US. And then some of them just all of a sudden become good. Even if Germany would have not supported them before, or would have not seen the talent, they come here and become good. That happened to quite a few athletes, and that shows how good the system is and how good it works, and that we should definitely,
But the better guys don't tend to come over.
No.
Because they already have the funding.
You have the funding, you're like, the people take, like, you are that athlete, for example, then, where you're like in the middle of the coach's attention, or like you're the main athlete in your group, and then you don't feel like, oh, I should try something new. Because you're like already, how would you say, surrounded by, it sounds so bad, surrounded by yes men.
Yeah, but no, everything is already set up around you.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. And I think, leaving the comfort zone is something that, many of us should do more.
Yeah, that's good advice. What about your cycling career, which has been put on a bit of a pause since you came over here?
Yeah, I'm just on the indoor trainer. But I have to bring my bike. Oh, my bikes.
Your bikes.
Yeah.
If you follow Falcon on Instagram, which everyone should. Wait, how many Instagram? You have a shit ton of Instagram followers.
Yeah, a couple.
A couple. Like 100.
What is it? 174,000.
Oh, I wish. It's 120? 125?
Yeah. You got a big following, which we can understand why. You're a very good looking man. But you would notice that he at certain times in the year, he's posted just a lot of sick biking footage and pictures, which I know you got into it a lot of time when you've been injured. That's like when I got into it. But I know you also just like love it as well. And you went as far as to compete in, what's the race called? The Badlands? No.
Yeah, Badlands.
Badlands.
Yeah, in Spain.
Which, can you explain? I don't know if these guys would know exactly what that entailed, because I watched the YouTube video. Everyone should also watch his YouTube video about it because it's amazing. It's fucking crazy,
thank you.
Though.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's a bikepacking race, unsupported bikepacking race, where you just ride through. Yeah, Spain has a desert, the only desert in Europe, and you ride through the desert, and on the way you climb 16,000 meters on 780 kilometers. And I wanted to finish fast, like under 3 days, but I just finished slightly under 4 days. Wow. Because
how many K was it?
780.
And it's self, like, what's the word? Self-supported?
Self-supported.
So you have to carry all your food?
You have to carry your food, your bed, everything. Your clothes.
Are there...
Your drinks.
What's it called?
The like checkpoints?
Aid stations?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Water?
Yeah, like, you ride through towns. Mm. But the longest bit that you ride through knows where where's nothing, no civilization. Or what do you call this?
Yeah, that's a good way to
say it. Is I think it's 120 kilometers where there's so nothing. And this was exactly day two where I had food poisoning and I would have needed help.
I needed a
and there was nothing. And I ended up just having a nap on the side of a road. I didn't even put my mattress down. I just laid down on the ground and slept.
It's so crazy.
Was it so hard? Like, in general, the whole thing?
Yeah, yeah. Like, for example, I think it was the morning of the third day. It started with a climb. And my body was, like... It felt like it was still asleep because... I was still asleep because it went... It was uphill for 16 kilometers, which took me 2 hours. So that means 8 kilometers an hour average. And I was all out, flat out. Everything I could. On my smallest gear, but I was... Full effort. My maximum heart rate was like 115. I was so...
You're just cooked.
Yeah, I was cooked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
That was very bad. Yeah. And the thing is, you mentioned the video. If there would have not been a cameraman, I would have not finished it. I'm being honest. I would have not finished.
You needed that accountability.
Yeah. Like, I didn't want to quit in front of a camera.
Yeah.
Camera. You know, I made all these motivational reels, and I couldn't back them if I would have not finished the reel, the race.
Fair enough. Well, it's a crazy effort. Like, I can't imagine that many people can even do that race, right? How many people finish it?
You would be surprised looking at the people that finished that race.
It's a different skill set to what we do.
It's like... Really knowing your pace, going on your own pace, and going for a long, long time. For example, there was one guy that was, I would guess, he was like 60 years old, and he was wearing Skechers. No click pedals, just Skechers. And on day one, when we drove past him, like, we went out hard, like my friends and me, we went out hard. And then, like, after four or five hours, we stopped for lunch, sat down for... I think 90 minutes or so. And then once we started again, we overtook this guy. And we saw him and we were like completely taking the piss out of him. Like, Skechers, bro, what are you doing? And the morning when I crossed the finish line and I sat there with my mates having pancakes, he just walked past. And I was like, wait, this guy, how long are you here for? Yeah, since yesterday. I was like, what? Humbled. Yeah. I got humbled.
Yeah.
And he was like 60 years old.
That's
he was just, I think he was barely sleeping, just going slow but at his
slow
own pace.
Slow but all day?
Yeah, steady. Slow but all day. Wow. And I would like, with the experiences that I made, I would like to do the race again.
Do you have aspirations for the same race or another one?
No, I want to do the same race again.
Yeah.
At some point.
I love it.
Even though the whole race, I was telling myself, never again. Never again.
Never again. Never again.
And once you cross the line, you're like,
Maybe I'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could do better next time.
I feel like that's like every ultra athlete or like anyone who does.
It's crazy, yeah. Like, it hurts so bad and you're in such a bad place while you're doing it. But afterwards, so nice.
What's that called? Type 2 fun? Type 3 fun?
Yeah. Also, you can eat. After this, you can eat so much.
Oh, I bet you need to.
Yeah. Like, I lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
What time of year is it?
September.
Just straight up.
This year doesn't work because we have Worlds. Mm-hmm. Maybe next year. if you want to sign up.
We'll think about it. Start just implementing slowly a little bit and a little bit more bike training into the schedule.
No, I think you should just do it unprepared. Just into the cold water.
That'd be the true experience.
That'd be terrible. I even think that... So we're talking about cycling ultra. I even think that trying to do like a running ultra, despite that we run 100 miles a week, I think even trying to do a running ultra would be different on your body.
I think running is so bad because on the bike you have downhill bits where you just sit there and come down a little bit running.
It's nonstop. The downhill was probably feels worse after halfway through that.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Like, do you know this race through Death Valley?
Yeah.
The Speed Project?
Yeah.
There are people that are doing this alone. Like, normally you're doing this in a relay kind of setup, mm-hmm. but there are people that are doing this on
There's also the Western States 100, which I think is a 100-mile race, I think goes through Death Valley. And it's very famous. I can't imagine doing a 100-mile race.
I think the Speed Project is 500K.
Is it?
Yeah, isn't it LA to Vegas or something?
Yeah. LA to Vegas, yeah.
Yeah. Or is it the other way? Yeah,
LA to Vegas.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's cool. But yeah, I mean, doing something like that as a team is cool. Doing that on your own, far out.
Yeah, it'd be like you'd be in your head a lot. What I can imagine. You're just in your head. You have no one to talk to. That would be the worst thing for me. You don't have no one to talk to anyone.
But this is not unsupported, I think.
There's people there.
Yeah.
You have your team. They are driving. Usually you have a van or like a camper where you can sleep in it. And they carry your food and your drinks. Because running, obviously, it's pretty difficult to be unsupported and to carry all your food and your drinks for 500 kilometers.
Doesn't quite make sense.
You see Kilgore on just did the 7 marathons in 7 continents in 7 days.
Really? He did that?
Yeah. Like 2 weeks ago? I think he's done it before, right?
There's a German that did...
It was like last week or 2 weeks ago.
How did I miss that?
There's a German that did 100 Ironmans.
In 100 days?
In 100 days.
Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah. That Jonas Deichmann.
See, that's the thing. Like, what's the point of even trying? Someone's already done, like, this crazy thing. Like, the 7 marathons and 7, that sounds crazy. And then you say 100 Ironmans.
And then you know the 200.
That sounds like...
You did 200 marathons in 200 days to even be relevant.
Well, the 7 one is just sounds like a logistical impossibility.
The first one's in Antarctica, and then...
Last time he did it, he had these photos on his Instagram, David Kilgore, and the first photo he had up was this massive plane, like jet plane, Boeing plane that dropped him off.
Seriously?
And he's running next to it because he's running around Antarctica doing it.
Yeah.
It's like the coolest photo I've ever
seen. I can't imagine how much money you need to just do that.
You get sponsored for it, though.
Yeah.
I think people
sponsor you make something out of it. I don't mean you. I just mean how much it costs.
How much it costs to do it.
Logistically, would be insane.
Logistically expensive.
Crazy. Crazy. Well, Robert, hopefully, I do hope that we see you at Badlands in the future. But before that, I hope that we see you crushing it on the track this indoor season. It's been amazing to have you as another great training partner. Annoying at times when we do threshold together and your lactate is like 1 point something.
Yeah, but I'm behind. Struggling. I'm in the back. At least I'm not pushing.
No. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
No. Thank you for having me. Thank you for the warm welcome to the team.
Do you want to talk about your shirt?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. From my fellow freshman, would you say this?
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah, we'll call him a freshman.
Dylan Jacobs. I think the t-shirt speaks for itself.
Yeah, like, hopefully the camera's picking that up.
That was yesterday, actually, that caused a big, big argument.
Yeah.
You thought I was upset.
We haven't recapped the Christmas party at all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think you were upset. I just didn't want the shirt anymore.
I was about to say, this is your shirt.
Yeah, I gave it to him.
That's so generous.
He just put it in my bag today.
Christmas party overall, great success.
It was really good.
Jordy Beamish got stolen from...
We did White Elephant again this year for the second time. George got stolen half the turns, I think, where someone's stealing George's
from
gift.
From George, yeah.
You
handled it pretty well. I kept looking at your face hoping to get a reaction, but you...
Who do you think bought that Lego? I was trying to get my hands on this Lego set. It was called The Plum. I could tell you a lot about it because I had it in my lap.
Spent a lot of time with it.
10 different occasions. It was called The Plum Blossom. They got 386 pieces. It's probably just from like Target or something, but I was pretty excited about it. And I had it a number of times.
The amount of good gifts that you had was crazy. And you also ended up with a great gift.
But who ended up with the Lego?
Well, no. So
the Lego?
Dylan.
So Dylan Jacobs did... But the record, he did a trade with Cinta after.
For the other Lego.
For the other Lego.
Two Legos.
But I think it's fair play that Dylan got the gift that he wanted because he just brought the best of all.
Yeah,
it's so impressive that he made a t-shirt for
Also, if you do remember what happened in the last round where his gift got stolen.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly.
Yeah.
So Mario had, well, I guess this was technically Elle's gift. It was a up to $25 dinner or coffee date with Mario.
Amazing gift.
And
it was so great.
Dylan had taken it and was like very happy about it. Everyone's like, oh, that's nice. Dylan's going to get to have coffee or a meal with Mario, and then Tyson stole it in the last round, and everyone was like, what, did that really just happen?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
I did not realize this because I was so focused on the t-shirt and how I could get the t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, look at you. You have it on now.
Yeah.
So it worked out.
But I feel so bad that you just gave it to me because you won. Maybe with a rule that you made up, but you won.
Okay. We got to ask,
so what have you ended up with?
No
gift.
No gift.
No, you ended up with this.
Well,
but now.
Yeah.
So Morgan's gone home empty handed.
The gift of giving. I have the gift of giving.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I wish there was an argument that went on with about how many times.
Well, there was arguments because Kelsey kept changing the rules mid-game.
So I didn't know this, but because Kelsey tried to tell the rules at the start, people were talking.
I don't think she did.
She did, but people weren't listening.
But they changed because initially she said that a gift could only be stolen 3 times, and then it changed to unlimited midway through the game.
I support unlimited. That makes it fun. But I do like that.
These things need to be established.
Yeah, they weren't established at the start, but my gift, which was the last gift, which no one picked up, I knew that there was going to be arguments because from last year there were arguments. Someone. And I thought it'd be really funny to wrap a book that says How to Win an Argument, which is an actual really nice book. And I put another book there and wrapped it up. And Joe was going through an argument about it with Morgan, I think.
Sage.
Or Sage was arguing.
Joe didn't care, I don't think.
Joe was going to pick up the book, and I thought this would be fantastic because he's going to pick up my gift, open it up, and everyone's going to see that it's How to Win an Argument. It would have been perfect timing. And then somebody said, oh, it looks like a book. And Joe goes, I don't read. And just dropped it on the floor and then picked up the other gift. And I saw, and Megan went to me, and she's like, damn, that was the perfect opportunity. I was like, that sucked.
That would have been useful earlier on.
But then Mario got it, so Mario can use it to argue.
And Mario loves literature. So
he does, yeah.
It's perfect. All's Elder.
And he also
lives
to win
as well.
He also loves to win an argument.
Mario? Yeah.
But everybody
that team loves to win an argument.
I don't think anyone likes to lose an argument.
Yeah, everyone. I don't think there's like certain people on this team that I don't think I've ever seen lose an argument.
Yeah, you just end up with saying, okay, that's your opinion.
Yeah, and then you win.
Let's agree to disagree. That's
and then
good
you win
way
the argument.
Yeah.
End it.
Yeah, true.
Well, what did you end up with, Ollie?
I ended up with...
Yours was good.
Mine had multiple things.
The mug?
Gingerbread?
Oh, gingerbread house.
The gingerbread house.
Making kit. The one you make yourself. Those are good.
Yeah, some little snack thing and then like some tea.
Yours was like 5 different things and I was like, that's a really impressive gift.
And I put it out because I didn't want to feel like, oh, no one could take it. No one took it.
It was worth more than $25.
I think the quality of gifts was really high this year. I think they were all above $25.
A couple of dollars more.
Gift quality was very good.
Yeah.
I was also $27.
Yeah, mine was about $30. $30, I think.
All right, Mike was gone.
Mine was like, what was yours again?
It was like, I think the book was, the two books combined was probably around $28, $29.
Mine was probably like $31, $32 then.
What was the second book?
The second book was, so I wanted to do that book because I thought it would be funny because I saw it at Trident.
Some philosophy one.
And then the other book I got was a Japanese book that I have actually read. That was like a philosophy, like mind wellness book.
In Japanese?
And it's from a Japanese author.
That's different. That's different.
Last Christmas.
Also, you speak Japanese.
Huh?
You also speak.
Yeah. Me, Koki.
And Kaita.
And Kaita. We have a group chat where we talk shit about the team and it's all in Japanese.
OEC Japan.
It's called OEC Japan plus Ollie.
Amazing.
I've been thinking of nicknames for Robert Farkin.
Don't use this one that you...
I was thinking fucking fast?
No.
You're fucking fast, bro.
That's good alliteration. I was thinking just Robbie Fark. It's like shortening things. This is fun. Robbie Fark.
Robbie Farks.
Or Bert Fark. Because you Robert, Bert, Bert Farkin.
I like it.
Bert Farkin.
I like it.
What's your middle name?
I don't have one.
You don't have a middle name? Fuck, we can make up one for him.
Do you guys know that's like a thing with Europeans, I think?
They have middle names.
They don't tend to have middle names.
No.
That's so much easier, like writing on stuff.
Yeah.
It's so much simpler.
It's crazy.
I don't really know why we have middle names.
Yeah, it's a bit...
Do you know? No, you know why.
Pretentious.
I know why. Because if you don't like your legal name, you can be identified by your middle name.
If you don't like your real name, you can change it to anything.
But I think this
was
when you didn't have to change it. You can just like flip it over. Because there's people that are, there's like famous actors and people that use their middle name as their main name that you wouldn't even know.
Do you have any examples?
Pasolini, not very famous. Not a famous actor.
Sam Parsons. What's his name?
George. And George.
Really?
Bro, that's your German brother. You should know this.
Robert is shocked right now.
No, you're joking. Is it like the German version of George, or is it like, is he Sam George Parsons?
He'd be George Sam Parsons.
Pretty sure he's George Sam. I'm pretty sure his world earth, he's entered in races as George.
Oh, okay. I really didn't.
What's the German? What's the German version of George?
Georg.
Georg. Okay.
Georg. Should have known. No, not Jörg.
What is it?
Georg.
Georg.
Georg. Georg. It's just without the E.
Oh.
Georg.
Cool.
So Georg, you know. Sam Parsons.
We digress.
I think it's American.
Is there a Morgan equivalent of a German?
What's the German equivalent of Morgan?
Morg.
Morg. I don't think the name exists in German.
Damn it.
Does Oliver exist?
Yeah, Oliver.
Just Oliver.
Oh, that's pretty universal.
Boring. Yeah. Boring.
Well, on that note, I would like to say thank you very much to Falcon Foss for joining us today on the podcast. We've had a lovely time with him. And also, I want to thank you all at home for listening. This has been episode 163 of the Coffee Club podcast, and we look forward to seeing you all again next week. Bye-bye. Tschüss. Is that good?
Tschüss. Yeah.
Tschüss. Good.
Ciao.
Good. Tschüss.
Cacao.
Ciao. Cacao. Sally, Morgan, George, and Gus, it's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.